Help, I can't get off my antidepressants. Dr. Ann Blake Tracy addresses in this tape the seriousness and very dangerous potential of withdrawal from America's most popular antidepressants. Dr. Tracy holds a doctorate degree in both psychology and health sciences. The serotonergic antidepressants have been her main area of research and expertise for the last 10 years. Dr. Tracy has testified as an expert witness in cases involving these drugs for 7 years, is the author of the book Prozac, Panacea or Pandora, and heads the International Coalition for Drug Awareness. Additional information can be found in her book and on the Coalition website at www.drugawareness.org.
Let me warn you in the beginning that I will be giving you lots of information on this tape and you will not be able to comprehend all of it, listening to it just once. It will be important to listen to it often. One woman always takes the tape with her in her car so that she can listen as she goes about her errands for the day. The drugs we're talking about today are Prozac, Zoloft, Paxil, Luvox, Effexor, Cerazone, Celexa, Remeron, and the new Seraphim, which is given for PMS, as well as the diet drugs Fen-Phen, Redux, and Meridia. We will also be discussing several other drugs which have very strong effects on serotonin, Anafrenil or Clomipramine, Desrel, also called Trazodone, and all of the antidepressants do affect serotonin levels, so the tricyclic antidepressants, the MAOIs. Many of the new antipsychotics act on serotonin as well, like Zyprexa, Seroquel, Risperidone. They are not the only ones. There are other medications given for various ailments that do affect serotonin levels. If you find that the drug that you're using affects serotonin, all of this information will apply to them as well. And all of them are known as serotonergic medications. The safe withdrawal guidelines contained here will work with all mind-altering medications, antipsychotics, medications for bipolar disorder, the Valium family of drugs. We've also seen them work well for withdrawal from seizure medications such as Depakote or Dilantin. Because these are mainly serotonergic medications that we're talking about withdrawing from on this tape, as we go into this, I believe it is important to explain a little bit about the serotonin hypothesis behind these drugs. It will be repetitious to you to some extent if you have read my book, Prozac, Panacea, or Pandora, Our Serotonin Nightmare. But understanding this information before we go into the withdrawal method is very important. Keep in mind, as I refer to Prozac, it is only because this is the drug that was the pattern for all the others that came out after it, and its reactions are a general rule of thumb for what you will see in each of these medications. Some are stronger than others and have their own brand name, but they all basically work the same and have similar effects. Most critical to understand is that the hypothesis behind the serotonergic medications is wrong. Medical research over the last 50 years proves that, as does the newest research. The incorrect theory behind these drugs is that serotonin levels are low in depression, OCD, anxiety, etc. Serotonin is a chemical that is normally found in the brain, known as a neurotransmitter. If serotonin is low in these disorders, the theory is then that we need drugs like Prozac, Zoloft, Paxil, etc. to increase the level of serotonin in our brains, and this is how these drugs came about. The problem with this is that as you read back through the medical research over the last 50 years, you will find some very interesting information that shows this theory is completely backwards. First, as we look at the history of serotonin, we need to go back to the research of Dr. Felix Suhlman, a doctor in Israel who pioneered the research on serotonin. In the 50s and 60s, as he worked with those who had higher serotonin levels due to an inability to metabolize serotonin by their own bodies, he came to realize that serotonin was a stress neurohormone, indicating stress through the nervous system and the brain and throughout the body. He found that these poor metabolizers of serotonin would have serotonin build up to high levels in their systems. When this would happen, he determined that they were actually being poisoned by the serotonin produced by their own bodies, which they were not able to metabolize. He called this toxic condition the serotonin irritation syndrome. Now, the serotonergic drugs work by impairing the serotonin metabolism so that serotonin levels will increase, chemically inducing higher serotonin levels, exactly what Dr. Sulman saw in his patients. Dr. Sulman learned that these victims with poor serotonin metabolism suffered from irritability, sleeplessness, pains around the heart, difficulty breathing, worsening of bronchial complaints, tension and anxiety that would appear from out of nowhere. They also suffered spontaneous abortion. They would sleep on the edge of consciousness and awake at the slightest provocation and not be able to return to sleep. And if you've read the chapter on sleep in Prozac Panacea or Pandora, you already know how many terrible problems, physical as well as mental, that a disruption of sleep alone can cause. So as we move away from Dr. Sulman's work, where he reported these serious problems with serotonin, we look at additional research that we've had over the last 30 to 40 years. As you read this medical research on serotonin, you find that high levels of serotonin are found in schizophrenia, psychosis, mania, mood disorders, which includes depression and anxiety, organic brain disease, mental retardation, and that risk is greater in children, one of the main reasons why these drugs that increase serotonin have not been approved as safe for children. Autism is also a state in which we find high levels of serotonin, Alzheimer's, old age, anorexia, constriction of bronchial tubes and constriction of the arteries to the heart. One of the main functions of serotonin is constriction of muscle tissue. The reports of muscle damage and conditions with tightening of the muscles, such as TMJ, came early on with these drugs. Now let's discuss what we know about lowered levels of serotonin metabolism. Remember, as the metabolism of serotonin increases, the serotonin level goes up. If you can't metabolize it, of course serotonin's going to build up. So when we discuss lowered serotonin metabolism, we are also talking about increased serotonin levels, or serotonin toxicity. Not only do we know that these SSRI antidepressants lower the metabolism of serotonin, we even know at what percentage each of them lower the levels of that metabolism. The studies indicating each percentage at which these drugs lower serotonin metabolism are listed in the book Prozac Panacea or Pandora. Studies show that with lowered serotonin metabolism comes impulsive murder and suicide, especially very violent suicide, arson, repeated suicide attempts, violent crime, insomnia, depression, abuse of alcohol and other drugs, impulsive acts with no concern for punishment, reckless driving, look at the road rage we now see that we'd never heard of before these drugs became so popular, dependence on other chemicals such as nicotine, caffeine, cocaine, etc. You will often see cravings for these things along with cravings for NutraSweet or sugar in patients using these drugs that lower serotonin metabolism. Also associated with impaired serotonin metabolism are bulimia, multiple suicide attempts. Someone with impaired serotonin metabolism will not stop with one suicide attempt. They will continue almost nonstop making attempts. Hostility, more contact with police, exhibitionism, arguments with spouses, friends, and relatives, often leading to divorce, obsessive compulsive behavior, impaired employment due to hostility, the most likely reason we now hear the term desk rage. Anorexia is another. What is frightening is that these drugs are being given for so many of the disorders that we listed that we know through medical research come from increased levels of serotonin caused by an inability to metabolize serotonin, the exact method by which these drugs work. Obviously, we have made a terrible mistake by increasing serotonin and decreasing the metabolism of serotonin throughout the system, producing a worsening of the problems that most patients had before they started on these serotonergic antidepressants. With the widespread use of these drugs, we see this is a tragic situation in our country and throughout the world today. Now that you understand a little bit about serotonin, let's discuss a few medical conditions in which we see high serotonin levels: hyperserotonemia, carcinoid syndrome, and serotonin syndrome. Hyperserotonemia is a condition in which serotonin levels are much too high. This can produce very serious complications medically as well as serious neurologic and psychiatric disorders. carcinoid syndrome is a set of symptoms caused by the elevated serotonin levels as well, which is produced by the secretion of serotonin by carcinoid tumors. You can see the effects of this in flushing of the skin lasting for minutes to days, diarrhea, bronchial constrictive attacks, sudden drops in blood pressure, edema. You also find abnormal accumulation of serous fluid in the abdominal cavity, also known as dropsy or peritoneal dropsy. Over time, you begin to see the distended abdominal cavity, which is one of the reasons why so many people on these medications will begin to look pregnant, whether they are male or female. The serotonin irritation syndrome, as Dr. Sulman called it, is a toxic state where the body is literally poisoning itself from too much serotonin. The serotonin syndrome is generally caused by a combination of two or more drugs, one of which is a selective serotonergic medication like those we are discussing here. It is a condition that can kill you in a 24-hour period. Lithium is another drug that also increases serotonin and can produce the serotonin syndrome in combination with these antidepressants. MAO inhibitors used in conjunction with these serotonergic medications will also produce serotonin syndrome. There are strong warnings about using them in conjunction with any of these drugs because it can end in death. Electroconvulsive therapy, ECT, or shock treatment also increases serotonin and can lead to this condition in which the high serotonin levels shut down major organs. Serotonin syndrome is serious. It can be fatal, killing a patient in less than a 24-hour period. When you reach the point of suffering serotonin syndrome, you have to be withdrawn from the drugs cold turkey in order to preserve life. This throws the entire system into shock. So you not only have the serious problems to deal with of serotonin syndrome when you reach this point, but you also have the withdrawal to deal with when this happens, the abrupt withdrawal. And this can be a horrifying experience. This is what you want to avoid by the continuous use of these drugs that force serotonin levels to life-threatening heights. These are the serious implications of long-term use of the antidepressants and why it is so important to understand the problems surrounding the mistake in the hypothesis behind these drugs that affect serotonin. All of these are conditions in which your body is being poisoned by the high serotonin. The serotonin irritation syndrome, something that Dr. Sulman warned of in his work half a century ago. Another warning that we should give is when you use cocaine, LSD, PCP, ecstasy, or even OxyContin that's become so popular for pain, many of the pain medications, all of these drugs increase serotonin levels, can interfere with these medications and produce death through serotonin syndrome. Another very serious medical problem associated with Prozac is an amazing increase in cortisol, the body's version of cortisone. One single dose of Prozac will double cortisol levels. This is an alarming increase and very damaging to both the body and the brain. Increased cortisol is known to produce brain damage, as well as all kinds of physical damage. A condition in which there are high serotonin levels is Cushing's syndrome. The symptoms of Cushing's syndrome include the hump at the top of the spine at the back of the neck, the rounded body with the smaller arms and legs while the body looks like a ball, the rounded face that you see in Down syndrome or mongoloidism, emotional instability fluctuating from various degrees of euphoria or mania, including full psychosis, then to the depths of depression, irritability, decreased ability to handle stress, decreased glucose tolerance, diabetes and fasting hyperglycemia, as well as increased urine glucose, muscle weakness brought on by potassium loss, and or the actual metabolism of muscle mass, fractures due to decreased bone mineral, retarded bone growth in children, edema, protruding abdominal cavity, girdle obesity, fluid retention around the face and eyes, acne, abnormal hair growth, masculinizing features in women, abnormal mammary gland function in men, even to the extent of producing milk, clitoral enlargement, peptic ulcers, capillary weakness brought on by the protein loss, hypertension is produced by the sodium and water retention increased production of androgen steroids, depressed immune system, suppressed inflammation response, which can mask severe infection, poor wound healing, renal disorders, tissue wasting. Bone demineralization will produce calcium in the urine, increased potassium excretion, etc. Cushing's can produce a fatal adrenal crisis. Now, this all comes from increased cortisol. Remember, Prozac doubles it with one dose. The following are the most common reactions reported to me over the last 10 years by patients on these drugs you might want to compare. Insomnia, vivid and violent dreams, inability to detect dreams from reality, the world takes on an otherworldly aspect, no emotions, inability to feel guilt, and an inability to cry, nausea, loss of appetite, rash, breathing or lung problems, shaking or an internal jitteriness, unusual energy surges at times producing superhuman strength like with PCP, memory impairment, hair loss, blurred vision or pressure behind the eyes, inability to discontinue the use of the drug, and or increasing one's own dose indicating drug dependence, cravings for alcohol, sweets and other addictive substances, or drinking large amounts of coffee or other caffeinated drinks or diet pop sweetened with NutraSweet, headaches, swelling and or pains in the joints, burning or tingling in the extremities, muscle twitching or contractions, tongue numbness or slurred speech, sweating, dizziness, confusion, chills or cold sweats, muscle weakness and pain, extreme fatigue, hypoglycemia or diabetes, lowered immune system, seizures or convulsions, and these things in the offspring of those using the drug during pregnancy, as well as hyperactivity in those offspring. And we still have no idea what the long-term effects are on the offspring. Weight gain or weight loss are other reports, mood swings, altered personality, symptoms of mania, inability to sit still or restlessness, racing thoughts, acting silly or giddy. Patients report that they began to act like teenagers again. Sexual promiscuity leading to unwanted pregnancy or divorce. Irresponsibility, wild spending sprees, gambling, criminal behavior, shoplifting, embezzling, stealing, hostility, deceitfulness, blank stares indicating petty mal seizures. Inability to see any alternative in life, thinking that you have no other choice in situations. Hyperactivity bursts, such as obsessive cleaning sprees. Aggressive or violent behaviors, wanting to ram other cars or driving irrationally or recklessly. Impulsive behavior with no concern for consequences. Numbness in various body parts. The legs can go numb and ride out from under the patient. Or the sexual organs go numb, preventing orgasm, leading to much sexual dysfunction, reported now in some studies to be up to 70% of patients on these antidepressants that are experiencing them. Also, pulling away from loved ones or others previously close to them. Isolating oneself, divorce. I've called these the divorce pills for years. They will create a divorce very rapidly, even in those previously happily married for 20 to 30 years. No desire to be touched, paranoia, falsely accusing others of abuse. It can be family members, acquaintances, anybody. Loss of spirituality, feeling possessed, or that something evil is inside the patient. Self-destructive behavior or suicidal ideation. Suicidal ideation is now listed as a side effect and means that the patient thinks continuously of ways to commit suicide or hurt themselves. This has nothing to do with the depression itself, but is an adverse reaction to the drug. Suicide attempts, muscle tremors, mania, and psychosis or psychotic breaks, which often means a trip to the local mental hospital or the local jail. Self-destructive behavior is another report. Patients will often get piercings or tattoos or have plastic surgery that they would not consider before. Now, those are some of the many tragic results from these drugs that patients have experienced. As you compare your own experience to theirs, it will help you to see what reactions you have in common so that you can sort out what effects are the result of the drug. Until you understand the source of the problem, you're not going to be able to know how to address the problem and take care of it. Dr. Candace Pert was one of the two developers of the serotonin binding process that made all of these serotonergic medicines possible. In Time magazine, October 20th, 1997, on page 8, if you would like to look it up, she talks about the widespread use of these drugs and declares, "I am alarmed at the monsters I have created." Dr. Pert went on to voice her concern about the long-term use of these medications, saying that we should see the same heart and lung problems that we saw with Fen-Phen and Redux with these serotonergic antidepressants as well. Never in the history of medicine has a developer of any medication come out with such a strong negative statement about his or her own creation. There have been many who have regretted developing the medications they developed, but their apologies have come long after the drugs have been removed from the market. Never has a developer come out as strongly as Dr. Candace Pert has, while the medications are even still on the market. Considering that about one in every seven Americans is on one of these antidepressants, it is tragic that this information from Dr. Pert has not made headline news. Now, one thing we mentioned previously that was the problem with the SSRI-induced hypoglycemia. I find that hypoglycemic reactions are very common with these drugs. Even if you do not experience the hypoglycemic reaction while on the drug, it should be expected when you withdraw from any mind-altering medication. So the blood sugar issue is one that must be addressed. Keep in mind also that the accumulation of these drugs in brain tissue produces a delayed withdrawal effect and many long-term side effects, puzzling to most patients as well as their doctors. If you have already read my book, Prozac, Panacea, or Pandora, you know that Dr. Craig Carson put out a study as early as 1993 showing that the level of Prozac accumulates in brain tissue. He found the same with Paxil, and other studies show the same type of accumulation in the brain with Luvox. Dr. Carson found that Prozac accumulates in brain tissue at a rate 100 times greater than what is in the blood. He believes that this high rate of accumulation in the brain tissue is why once a patient has an adverse reaction, it will continue for some time after discontinuation of the medication. Dr. Carson told me of one patient on the drug for 1 year, then off for 2 years before she died. When he tested the brain tissue at death, he said that even he was surprised to find that the level of the drug was higher than he would have expected with looking at his own study results. So when you look at an accumulation rate that high within the brain, he said that the patients who begin to experience side effects should expect to continue to have them for quite some time, even after coming off the drug. So it is important to learn how to withdraw safely from the drugs, how to overcome the effects of that accumulation in the brain, and work around what is happening to lessen the adverse effects and the withdrawal effects. This is what we're going to address now. First of all, with hypoglycemia, whether a patient is aware they have it or not, it's often the reason for the drugs being given initially. Symptoms of hypoglycemia include depression, anxiety, and panic, even suicidal tendencies. Now, you will suffer hypoglycemia in the withdrawal, so you need to know how to handle that. First of all, these are the symptoms of hypoglycemia. You may want to note how many symptoms you had before taking the antidepressant, and also note how many you have noticed appearing since taking the antidepressant. Confusion, impaired memory, mood swings, irritability, depression, hyperactivity, inability to concentrate, negative attitude, hopelessness, anxiety, exhaustion, sweating, tremor, vertigo, heart palpitations, muscle pain, backache, anorexia, crying spells, phobias, or unjustified fears. A separate list also mentions numbness, chronic indigestion, mental confusion, cold hands or feet, blurred vision, muscle twitching or cramps, joint pain, antisocial behavior, recklessness, obesity, staggering, abdominal spasms, fainting or blackouts, convulsions, and suicidal tendencies. Even though that sounds like virtually every reason for which they give these drugs, that is a description of hypoglycemia. A study indicating a high rate of diabetes in those diagnosed bipolar was published in the September 1999 issue of the American Journal of Psychiatry. In the study, it states that scientists have known since the turn of the century that mental illnesses are blood sugar related. Certainly the public knows little of this, and few doctors seem to be aware either. Hypoglycemia is a condition in which the pancreas is not functioning properly. The pancreas malfunctions, causing too much insulin to be released, which drops the blood sugar below normal. This is a critical situation for the brain, since the brain cannot function without proper blood sugar levels. The minute the blood sugar level begins to drop, brain cells die. That is how dependent brain function is upon blood sugar levels. So you need to understand how critical it is to keep your blood sugar at normal levels. Anything that increases serotonin drops blood sugar levels. These antidepressants do it. Various foods such as white sugar, NutraSweet, dairy, turkey also do it. Stress does it as well. So in coming through the withdrawal process, we want you to keep this in mind so that you can focus on keeping the blood sugar levels balanced. In doing this, it will prevent a condition in which you may suffer additional brain damage from the blood sugar imbalances. Let us look at some of the most commonly reported adverse effects of the withdrawal. The most common is insomnia. Restoring sleep patterns is the most difficult withdrawal symptom to deal with, and sleep is so critical to mental health. Flu-like symptoms come in withdrawal. Rebound depression, worse than what you took the drug for. Exhaustion, chronic fatigue is also diagnosed in the withdrawal. Irritability leading to rage. If you have ever seen someone coming off nicotine, you have some idea of the irritability produced in drug withdrawal. Electric shocks throughout the extremities, seizures, and of course the most dangerous withdrawal effect is the mild seizure activity of the REM sleep behavior disorder, which leads to psychotic breaks. The REM sleep behavior disorder is a whole combination of things going on in the body. It is where the REM sleep, the dream state, has been so repressed for so long that the brain forces you into a dream while you are awake. This is a sleepwalk state where you begin to act out dreams or nightmares, most often nightmares. This REM sleep behavior disorder will often be labeled mania or psychosis. Keep in mind that increases in serotonin produce both nightmares and sleepwalk. The potential for the REM sleep behavior disorder is high with these drugs during use or in coming off of them. So what we want to do is avoid all of these withdrawal effects if possible, especially the serious and life-threatening ones. The key to avoiding the most serious withdrawal effects has proven to be the time element. The biggest mistake patients and doctors make in withdrawal from these drugs is coming down too quickly. This throws a patient into a spin that is most difficult to come out of and causing one to think that they need to be medicated again, thus producing a vicious cycle starting back on the medications in order to stop your withdrawal. Patients must withdraw very, very, very slowly while rebuilding nutrients to produce the energy they need to handle the withdrawal. This is literally the key to avoiding ending up in a psych ward as you withdraw from these drugs. If you slowly and gradually come off the medications, the body and brain have a chance to adjust to the lower and lower levels of the chemical. You must remember that the brain has had to adjust over time to the chemicals being there, and once the brain has changed its chemical makeup to adjust for the drug being there, stopping cold turkey is like pulling the carpet right out from under yourself. Coming off a very steep mountainside in one single step, that is why it is called crashing. You don't want to do that. Once someone who is on these drugs understands how dangerous the drugs can be, the first thing they want to do is get off now. Unfortunately, in 12 years, as I have been working with those withdrawing from these drugs, I have yet to see someone come off the drugs cold turkey and do well. There are a few that have had very few withdrawal symptoms, but I will tell you that they are very few in numbers. They are those individuals who had such a strong physical constitution when they were originally put on the drug that they were able to handle the withdrawal effects. But the longer you've been on the medications, the weaker your constitution is, and the more difficult it is to withdraw. So remember to be kind and gentle to yourself as you go through this. A few of the things you need to do is to keep a diary of how you feel and how you are doing each day. This is very important because when the bad days hit, patients say that they cannot recall good days at all. It doesn't matter how many good days they've had in a row. Once that bad day hits, they forget all the rest. It is very helpful if you keep the diary so that when a bad day does come, you can look back at your diary and say, okay, now how many good days did I have in a row? Once I get through this one bad day, I will have this many more good days again. It tends to go that way. Patients report that in the beginning they will have several bad days and then one good day. Then they will have several more bad days and then two good days, several more bad days and then three good days, so that you're having more and more good days and fewer bad days. You will find that keeping a diary is very helpful in tracking that. Let me read from an email I recently got from someone working on withdrawal. She had attempted to withdraw from her antidepressant before this, and she had very poor results. She ended up back on the drug because she was unable to handle withdrawal. Now she is withdrawing through the very slow and gradual process recommended here of shaving a tiny bit off the pill each day, taking months to withdraw instead of weeks. It takes a lot of patience to do this. But through this method of very, very slow withdrawal, patients are able to completely get off of these drugs, get their life back together again, and not go through the terrible withdrawal that can stop them from functioning as an individual. And clearly you will see that this is the simplest and easiest way patients have found to get off these medications. Let me read to you what she says. I'm now down to 5 milligrams of Prozac a day. I am so excited. I've been at that level for over a week now. And I've had much fewer problems cutting back a little bit at a time this time. The first 2 days after cutting back require much sleep and some chamomile tea for the jitters. So I try to cut back on Thursday or Friday so that I have the weekend to rest and let my body rebuild itself. And this way I have not had to miss work, and the short-term memory loss problems are very mild. When that seems to block my thinking, I just sleep for a few hours and it goes away. I have found that severe stress over a period of 3 to 6 hours can cause the same sensation as cutting back does, but sleep takes care of it each time. By stress, I mean while at work, if I focus really hard on something, I have to analyze and just literally wear myself out trying to come up with a solution by the end of the day. I have some difficulties thinking and remembering. It is like the thought is there 1 minute and it's gone the next. But I've decided I'm going to come off the last 5 milligrams even more slowly than I did the original 20. This has been a real learning situation, but I feel better and calmer than I have since beginning this medication over a year or two ago. Thanks to you and your book and your internet site, I'm finally getting back to me. Even my temper is better and I can actually feel with my heart again instead of just with my head. So now when I get angry or happy or sad, I don't just feel it in my head. I feel it with my heart also. The genuine emotions are returning. I have even almost quit using foul language because my anger is not explosive anymore. I used to never use foul language before taking these medications. Anyway, I just thought I would touch base with you and let you know what's going on with me and let you know that your efforts have not been in vain and that they have helped at least one person. And by the way, my sister's now learning how to get off these medications as well. Okay, I've got a couple of other experiences that you need to hear about because it will be very tempting to you as you begin to feel better to just quit the medications as you're weaning yourself off. So you need to understand what problems you can run into when you do that. After a year on Paxil and then learning what it does, the adverse effects, Kim decided that she wanted to come off this medication. In doing so, she cleaned up her diet. She decided after learning more about diet that she wanted to become vegan and get rid of meat and dairy products. So she wanted to turn to really good foods. She began to use one of the Sunrider products called New Plus as a way to rebuild her body. She worked very hard to change her family's diet and help her children to eat right along with her. Then slowly, very slowly and gradually, with a fingernail file, she shaved her pill a little tiny bit more each day over months to come down off of the drug. Generally, patients find that if they've been on the drug for a year, that 5 to 6 months is about what it takes for them to be able to wean themselves slowly off the medication. So between one-third to one-half the total amount of time that you are on any of these drugs or combination of these drugs to come down off of them seems to be the safest amount of withdrawal time. That is, unless you've been on any combination of these drugs over a total period of 2 years or more, then a year to come off is about what is needed. One man I helped who had been on several SSRIs over a 10-year period took 2.5 years to wean himself slowly down off of the drugs because he wanted to avoid any reactions in the withdrawal. When Kim got down to about 5 milligrams a day, she ran out of her medication, and she thought that she could just quit and be all right. She was really busy and just didn't have time to go down and pick up her prescription. Well, about a week later, she called me, and after we'd talked for a while, I said, "How are you doing on your withdrawal?" She replied, "Oh, well, I just quit a week ago. I ran out of my pills, and I thought I'd just stop." I gasped for air and said, "Oh, no, Kim, you can't do that." She wanted to know why, and then I explained that you begin biting everyone's head off, for starters. She said, "Well, I did just have a really big fight with my husband, and my parents called the other day, and now that you mention it, I was biting their heads off." She said, "I guess I can see what you mean. I didn't even stop to think that it was the withdrawal. It's so easy to find other reasons why these things might happen, but I can see that I've really been snapping at others. I really have been irritable." So Kim decided that she would go back on Paxil at about half of where she was when she quit the week before. Then she weaned herself fully down off over the next month or so and did really well. So you do get sidetracked by other things, and it's very, very tempting to just quit after you get down a ways off of the drugs. But keep in mind that you can still go into quite serious withdrawal effects when this happens. So try to avoid that. Now, one very critical point for you to understand about abrupt withdrawal is that many patients seem to think that when they've made it through the first month or 2 months after coming off the drug cold turkey, that they have made it through the withdrawal and they're feeling better than they have in years, all the years that they were on the drugs. But the worst part of the withdrawal can hit 3, 4, 5, even 6 months or more down the road when you come off of these drugs too quickly. You can experience different forms of psychosis or mania in abrupt withdrawal. In mania, you become very paranoid and then become psychotic. One particular case I worked on was that of a young man who was a Seventh-day Adventist, so he'd been raised on a really good healthy diet. He had been on Prozac for 8 years and had been able to handle it fairly well, even though he had suffered many of the terrible side effects which had destroyed his marriage and caused him to have other manic reactions over that time period. At least he was still alive after 8 years on it. At that point, he decided that he should come off the drug, so he just stopped taking it. He did quite well until about 6 months later, when he began to have all the signs of withdrawal-induced mania. He began having thoughts of burning down the ranch where he was staying and killing all the horses on the ranch. He was drinking, he was hoarding guns, he was having extremely bizarre thoughts to the point that it really frightened him. He shared those fears and violent thoughts with his sister, who was a nurse. Together they decided that he should go to a doctor and get back on medication. So he immediately started back on the Prozac he had, thinking that it would help. But once the withdrawal-induced mania is triggered by the shock of the withdrawal, starting back on an SSRI is generally the worst thing you can do. Remember that mania is high levels of serotonin anyway, so a drug designed to increase serotonin levels even further is an extremely poor choice. Anti-seizure medications would, of course, have been the better choice if he had to be taking meds. But we know even these rarely help in withdrawal-induced mania. After he started back on the Prozac, it became much worse. They went to see a doctor. The doctor prescribed Paxil, which of course is even stronger in serotonin reuptake than the Prozac. And the high serotonin is the trigger for mania. 2 weeks later, he walked up to his brother-in-law while he was talking on the phone, put a gun to his neck, and pulled the trigger. He was in such a sleepwalk state at that point that as he picked up the phone to tell the individual on the other end, who was his sister, that he had just shot her husband and must hang up so he could call 911, she said that he sounded like a robot. The 911 operator also reported that he sounded like a robot. The sister called right back and was able to talk him into realizing what he had done. He then spent the next hour, while the emergency personnel made their way to the secluded area where they were, to save the brother-in-law's life. Luckily, his brother-in-law did live. But unfortunately, when these reactions happen in withdrawal, there's not always someone there that can help you come to a level of consciousness so that you know what you're doing in order to help repair the damage that you've caused. This is an extremely serious and very critical situation that can come from coming off of these drugs cold turkey, especially after you've been on them a long time. The anger, the very angry feelings that come with mania from abrupt withdrawal, can continue for months, even years after the drug. So you see that throwing your body into that kind of shock through the cold turkey withdrawal can be very dangerous. Another case to consider. Eric was given Zoloft for serious back problems. It was given to him for pain, a pain medication. This is something the drug has not been approved for, but it has become quite common for doctors to use these drugs this way because remember I mentioned the numbing effect that comes from them? In my opinion, these drugs should be classified as dissociative anesthetics, just like PCP. It is because of that numbing, that anesthetic effect, that so many patients describe their withdrawal as if they're coming out from under anesthesia, or as if they've been deep sea diving and are coming close to the surface as they become more and more aware of what's going on around them. Unfortunately, after several years on the drug, Eric developed diabetes. No one bothered to tell him that diabetes was a side effect of the SSRI antidepressants. Instead, he continued to take the medication. After being on it for about 5 years, a very long period of time, we have no idea what these drugs do in long-term use, Eric then developed serotonin syndrome. Remember, that is a condition that can take your life in a 24-hour period. They had to immediately remove Eric from the Zoloft, and he went into terrible abrupt withdrawal. So you need to know that staying on these drugs is not a safe option either. It can get much worse when you hit those toxic levels. The withdrawal does not have to be horrible. If you have attempted abrupt withdrawal, the cold turkey approach in the past, you need to know that the problems you ran into were caused by the shock from the abrupt withdrawal. It is possible to slowly and gradually wean yourself off the medications and still have a life. Now, let's go into why these things happen. One thing you need to understand is that an antidepressant by the name itself is the opposite of a depressant. So what have we got? We've got a stimulant. Your body's being stimulated to a point to give you the energy you need to do things in life. That is what cocaine is, and that is why people take cocaine. It's a stimulant. If you're driving your car down the road and you run out of gas, what's the logical thing to do? You stop, grab the gas can, and you go get gas so that you can get to where it is you're trying to go. You don't take a sledgehammer out of the trunk and beat the bumper to get where it is that you want to go. But that's what it is that we do to our body when we force it to perform beyond its own energy supply. Imagine a balance scale. You can either force your body and brain to do what you want them to do by using a stimulant, or you can build the body's energy levels, basically fill up the gas tank, so that you'll have the energy you need to cope with life, both physically and mentally. The one thing these drugs do, and illegal drugs do it also, is slowly deplete the body of vitamins and minerals, nutrients that you need to function, your energy supply. And as you go into a deeper and deeper level of malnutrition, your ability to cope and your ability to deal with life physically and mentally will be severely impaired. These serotonergic medications have a very strong impact upon the body's ability to metabolize foods or to metabolize your nutrients. That is why so many of the symptoms or side effects of these antidepressants are related to the digestive system. 90% of the serotonin in the body comes from the intestinal tract. And when you understand that, you begin to see why there are intestinal problems with these drugs. But as you look at the body's ability to metabolize nutrients, to provide the fuel you need to cope with everything in life, you understand how important it is that you work hard at rebuilding that nutritional level that has been depleted by the drugs. Let me just briefly read one section to you out of my book. And this is about Dr. Francis Pottinger. He is well known for his research on cats and nutrition. This says, "One of the experiment's more startling discoveries is that once a female cat is subjected to a deficit diet for a period of 12 to 18 months, her reproductive efficiency is reduced so that she is never again able to give birth to normal kittens. Even after 3 or 4 years of eating an optimum diet, her kittens will show signs of deficiency in skeletal and dental development." Now, if 12 to 18 months of malnutrition can do that to an individual, I mean, this is frightening to understand what we're doing to ourselves when we destroy our nutritional level. His research was monumental, by the way. In this study, he did go on to find out that when that cat's kittens were maintained on an optimum diet, a gradual reversal and regeneration began to take place. So keep that in mind. I believe that this regeneration is something that will happen to the mother cat as well as it did to her kittens. Through rebuilding the level of nutrition, and Dr. Pert believes this also, the body will work at rebuilding itself once you just give it the building blocks. The body actually builds over 300 billion new cells every day. Give it those building blocks and it will work at repairing any damage. Building very healthy cells from the good nutrition. It may take time, but I believe it can be done if we really work at it. Now let's talk about all the different things that we can do now to work on rebuilding the body and the brain. Keep in mind that we know that one single 30 milligram dose of Prozac given to someone who's never taken it before and never takes it again, just one single 30 milligram dose will double the body's level of cortisol. Cortisol is the hormone that designates when the body is in stress. When an individual is depressed, the cortisol level goes up. A doubling of the cortisol level with one dose of Prozac is a shockingly powerful negative effect on the entire system of the body. I'm convinced that this huge increase in cortisol comes from the stress neurohormone that Dr. Sulman spoke of, serotonin. So when we look at a stress response of a doubling of cortisol, I expect to see, with the new research, even higher levels of cortisol produced by Celexa, Paxil, some of the newer antidepressants that we know have an even stronger effect on the reuptake of serotonin. With this in mind, we see clearly that the body suffers extreme stress as a result of these serotonergic antidepressants. In fact, most people after being on these drugs show all the signs of post-traumatic stress syndrome. Stress is very detrimental to the body and to the brain, as is cortisol. This can weaken the immune system, your energy supply is depleted, you lose your ability to cope, the excess adrenaline flow lowers the level of consciousness. Mania, depression, seizures, and cancer can all be induced by a series of constant stressors, even mild stressors, that are continuous. So every time a chemical induces such a strong stress response, we are being profoundly affected with each pill, and the stress is accumulating throughout the body and the brain. In our day and age, avoiding stress is almost impossible. We are surrounded by stress in our lives everywhere we look. But we stumble across enough stress in life without looking for it and asking for more, in taking drugs that can cause this type of cortisol release. So let's look at things we can do to lower this drug-induced stress response. There are many common sense solutions. We need to spend less time trying to keep up with the Joneses and more time with our loved ones who give us comfort and joy. Perhaps a career change would help to alleviate stress. There are many ways to support a family. We don't have to do the jobs we are doing. We can try other things. Although the effects of the drug will make you think that you have no alternative, it is not true. You have many options available to you in life. Nature is incredibly soothing and healing. Try gardening, a trip to the mountains, lying in the grass or walking through the grass can give you energy. Listening to running water is so soothing, and the negative ions that come from the moving water are very healing. Petting a dog or a cat has been demonstrated to be very healing. Any pet can help you to get rid of much stress in your life. Playing soft classical music, especially Baroque music, will help the brain to function at a better and higher rate. Playing soft classical music throughout the night to calm a nervous or fussy baby who refuses to sleep will give you and the baby a chance to catch up on much-needed sleep. Learn to take naps and also learn to go to bed early. We know that going to bed earlier can rid someone of depression quickly. In those that cannot use antidepressants, this is recommended. Going to bed early resets their internal time clock and gets rid of any symptoms of depression. We know that going to bed early for a week will knock depression for 6 months at a time. Learn how to release traumas from the past so that you will have the tools to deal with similar traumas without overreacting. Cut stimulants or chemical stressors out of your daily diet. Now, that means things like NutraSweet, which increases serotonin, anything that increases serotonin. All of those should be avoided. This means stimulants of any kind. We know that Jell-O, ice cream, sugar, refined carbohydrates, all of these types of things can have a strong effect upon the serotonin levels. We have a new report out of the University of Florida on dairy products. For those unable to metabolize milk proteins, something that appears to be a result of antidepressant use, the milk proteins build up in the brain and turn to casomorphine. Morphine is a powerful serotonin reuptake inhibitor. Keep in mind that serotonin is high in schizophrenia, autism, mania, all of these types of disorders. Dr. Cade's study out of the University of Florida does support that research because he found that when he took patients who were schizophrenic and autistic off dairy products, 80% of these patients had all symptoms disappear. Now, that is incredible to know that diet can cause that big a difference in someone's life. These are the most serious mental disorders we face in our society today. If you can do something as simple, there are many natural remedies we can use rather than popping a pill. We need to learn more about those natural remedies, especially once reaching a point after using these drugs where you are literally very chemically sensitive. Most patients who've been on these serotonergic medications for any amount of time have become very sensitive to other medications, any type of chemical, forcing them to search out natural remedies and educate themselves more about these natural alternatives. Learn more about your own strengths so that you can use those strengths to help you in overcoming the difficulties in life. Gain wisdom and knowledge in many areas of life so that you will feel more capable of handling a large variety of situations. Do not be self-centered. Learn to serve and care for others. If you have problems caring for others, it might do you a lot of good to do some genealogy. Why genealogy? Because once you begin doing it, you will find how closely related every one of us is. It makes it easier to love people when you realize how closely related you are to them. Now, one more thing to avoid, although we did not mention it before, is meat. The reason for avoiding meat, or at least eating much smaller amounts, is the stimulant effect that comes from eating the meat. You need to distance yourself from anything that triggers a stress response. When an animal faces death, the death process itself will trigger an adrenaline rush. This is the fight or flight hormone release. It is natural for the entire system to be completely saturated with adrenaline in order for that animal to attempt to save its life. So as the tissues of the meat are saturated with adrenaline, which is chemically identical to speed or amphetamine, it will produce stress in your system. At the very least, try to avoid meat in the withdrawal process. It will make that process much easier for you. Remember, these drugs are highly protein-bound. So as you avoid these more complex proteins, they'll have less to hold on to and your body will be able to flush them. Now eat good, nutritious foods to overcome the drug-induced malnourishment that we were talking about before. So many of the side effects and withdrawal effects are caused by the malnourishment. Organic, or as natural as you can get, are the easiest for the body to absorb and use, and they contain higher levels of nutrients. Some of the things that we have found that really help in the withdrawal, things that patients have continually reported are very, very helpful to them, are these. Now, some of these are sold through multi-level companies, but I will let you know the easiest way to get them and the cheapest way to get them. First, you need a good vitamin mineral supplement. Food form is always preferred because they are much easier to digest and assimilate. So we will discuss a couple here. If you have to use pills, okay, but find good sources, not one-a-day brand or Centrum or junk like that. Use good, organic, natural sources. Because of the negative reports coming from patients, it would be better to find a vitamin without vitamin K. Canadian versions of multivitamins generally do not have the vitamin K in them. The antioxidant pycnogenol, grapeseed extract, is very helpful. Other antioxidants are CoQ10 or ginkgo. They work better if you use them while you come down off of the drug. If you do wait until you're off the drug to try them, you can get adverse reactions unless you begin with very, very small amounts and work up on the dosage. It may be that they are producing a cleansing effect that is too strong to handle after the withdrawal. Flaxseed oil is another very important nutrient that helps the brain to rebuild. I attended a convention at the National Institute of Health in September of 1998. The entire convention was on flaxseed oil or omega-3 oils such as fish oil. There were doctors from around the world reporting their success in helping patients who were schizophrenic, manic, severely depressed, had ADHD and ADD, suffering from PMS or seizures. All of these disorders were tremendously helped by using flaxseed oil or the omega-3 oils. Generally, they use about 1 tablespoon a day. You can use just plain flaxseed if you can find the flax by getting a coffee grinder, blend them up into a powder, make some oatmeal and then sprinkle the powder over the oatmeal, or you can make a blender drink and throw the powder in the blender drink. When you're using a sweetener, a little bit of pure maple syrup as a sweetener, because pure maple syrup, not the sugar water log cabin kind, pure maple syrup is about the best sweetener there is when it comes to the hypoglycemic tendencies that you go through in the withdrawal. Also great for sweetening, as it helps the pancreas to rebuild, is stevia. And the Sunrider products have an excellent form of liquid stevia that we'll mention later. Eating a small handful of almonds, 6 to 12 almonds, is an excellent and simple way of keeping the blood sugar level normal. If you're really having problems with blood sugar, you can do 6 to 12 almonds every hour to 2 hours and find that it will balance that sugar level. Noni is very helpful. This is a fruit juice that is made from the noni fruit. It has a digestive enzyme in it that is the active ingredient. Noni has been used in the islands, the Hawaiian Islands, for years for all types of ailments. Noni juice will help you to get rid of the dissociative state that comes from these drugs, that almost being in a dream state that you feel in the withdrawal. It will help to prevent mania. I have been amazed at what I've seen Noni do with those who have gone manic because of these drugs. Their order line is 800-445-2969, and if you use the number 26506 as the member number, then you can order wholesale. I have tried other brands without the same beneficial results. Cranial massage is another thing that is very helpful, and it will release a lot of pressure if there is any swelling in the head. Edema is a common problem with these drugs. I suspect that the brain swells also. Cranial massage has been reported by patients to be very beneficial in getting rid of the panic or anxiety that comes from the adrenaline rushes in the withdrawal. Some of those adrenaline rushes have been reported to go on for 4 hours straight. Once the adrenaline is triggered, you can't seem to slow it down. But keeping the blood sugar normal is critical in preventing those adrenaline rushes. Now remember that the spine is an extension of the brain. All nerves are housed in the spine, so it is very important to make sure that there are no kinks there. With the high serotonin constricting the muscles, the back can be pulled out of place easily, causing the vertebrae to pinch nerves. Keeping that flow going through the spine, that energy flow, is very helpful to brain function. This is likely why there are so many studies out now that find that chiropractic care is very beneficial in drug withdrawal. Acupuncture has been known for decades to be beneficial in the withdrawal from any drug. Patients are having incredible success with it as well. Negative ions help to lower the serotonin levels. Dr. Sulman did much research on negative ions, learning that they could reduce the high levels of serotonin. Just from running a shower, you can produce negative ions. There are also negative ion machines that you might want to check into. Dr. Sulman found that even though the serotonin levels are high in people who sleep poorly, using a negative ion machine in a room would cause these people to sleep better. Many patients are given CPAP machines because they have an inability to sleep well. So many develop sleep apnea after being on these drugs, so the CPAP machine is also something that your doctor might recommend. Increasing oxygen is very healing. There are many oxygen bars that are opening up throughout the country, just like a juice bar where you can actually go in and get a hit of oxygen. For a long time, pilots and emergency officials have known that if they have consumed alcohol, which they're not supposed to be doing before work, but they need to sober up in order to get to work, breathing in oxygen will get rid of the effects of the alcohol. So it would seem logical to me that oxygen would be very, very helpful in getting rid of the foggy feeling in the brain after these drugs. Hyperbaric oxygen treatments have been reported to cut withdrawal time and adverse withdrawal effects drastically. If you have a hyperbaric oxygen treatment center anywhere near you, use them. Another product is put out by Christopher's. If any of you are familiar with Dr. John Christopher, the herbalist, this was put together by his son, David. The product is called PreTrack. They have another product called ProTrack, which they recommend using after the drugs. They also have a product called Pank Tea, which is very good at rebuilding the pancreas. Another product called Vital Herbs is excellent in rebuilding the nutrients in the body. They have an 800 number, which is 800-453-1406. Another product available in any health store is a homeopathic formula called Calms. It is very helpful in getting through the withdrawal. You also heard me earlier read an email where a patient used chamomile tea. Chamomile is a wonderfully soothing and calming herbal tea that I highly recommend to restore sleep patterns. It would be hard to get enough chamomile. It's just a really good drink. Another herbal combination that I really like for calming is hops, valerian, and skullcap. Patients report that using valerian alone can cause a stimulating effect. So the combination of those three herbs seem to work much, much better, and they're very calming, available at any health store. Two very big no-nos, in my opinion, are St. John's wort and the 5-HTP that you can find in health stores. St. John's wort is not to be used in conjunction with medications because of its effect in increasing serotonin. You can even produce serotonin syndrome using it in conjunction with antidepressants, any antidepressant. So St. John's wort and 5-HTP, or anything else that targets serotonin to increase it, I would prefer that patients stay away from those things. I would rather you rebuild your body with nutrients than to use something that is a serotonergic agent, like St. John's wort or 5-HTP, which both increase serotonin. Another thing that does increase serotonin is very popular as a sleep aid and should be avoided. That is melatonin. Even though it may be tempting to use it to help you with your sleep problems, I would not do so. Another thing that should be avoided is any glandular products. These are often passed off by chiropractors as natural health aids, but they do produce a steroid effect and can cause very serious reactions after using these drugs. Check the supplements you're taking. See if there's any type of glandular substances that are included in those. Everything we have said here applies to all antidepressants, all the older ones as well. So keep that in mind as you learn these things and learn how to rebuild your body. You know that you can overcome the effects of those drugs as well. I certainly hope that you understand by now that you are to avoid stimulants, even caffeine and nicotine, because it is going to be harder for you to handle any kind of stimulant effect after being on these drugs. Both the caffeine and nicotine will keep you from being able to metabolize the high levels of serotonin that you have built up on the antidepressants. They will also trigger stress responses, the last thing that you need in withdrawal. So avoid them if possible, or wean off them after your withdrawal from the antidepressants, so that you do not suffer increased numbers of negative side effects and after effects. Also keep in mind that many of these after effects, such as high cholesterol, allergies, they all come from the weakened immune system, fibromyalgia symptoms, MS symptoms, the digestive problems, all of these come from the drugs. Try to avoid any other medications for these symptoms, which are actually side effects, so that they do not interfere with your withdrawal. Remember that metabolism takes more energy than running a marathon. Meats take 12 to 24 hours to digest. Grains take 6 to 12 hours. But fruits and veggies only take 30 minutes to an hour to digest. So to get more nutrition and conserve energy, use lots of fruits and veggies to rebuild. Because they're easier to digest than anything else, you have all that extra energy that you would have used for metabolizing foods that you can use to help your body to heal. It's simple math. Juicing is a very good way to get well, but work at it gradually. As you begin to use more and more fruits and veggies, start with cooked foods and slowly go to more and more raw, because the raw has the enzymes to help make them easier to digest. If you recall, Sunrider New Plus is the product that Kim used to rebuild, and she did so well in coming down off Paxil. In my opinion, this is one of the best products I've found in rebuilding nutrients, because it is easier to digest than a vitamin, and it's an easy way to feed yourself when you are so exhausted from going through the withdrawal from the drug. Be sure to get the New Plus, though, that is mostly herbal. So as they give you all the different types, tell them that you want the one that is all herbs. The order number for Sunrider is 888-278-6743. You are welcome to order that product yourself by referring to member number 00127-1794 under the name Dr. Ann Blake Tracy. If you find you need assistance with Sunrider products, you are welcome to call Della at 1-800-759-6222. You'll find many products there that are very easy to assimilate and help to restore the hormonal and endocrine system of the body. Ask her for any advice. Another company with excellent and very helpful products is the Oasis Anti-Aging System. They have three products I am very impressed with, and the ones that I would recommend that they do have. Those are Metaberry, an antioxidant drink, Metagreen, which is helpful in rebuilding, and Aloe Gold, an aloe vera drink, which has been very helpful with the digestive pains and problems that are caused by these drugs. You can order these products online at oasisnetwork.com or by calling 1-877-627-4787. You can refer to member number 105-7553. Another product is Young Living Essential Oils. I have found these to be of great benefit after using these drugs. When I first heard about aromatherapy, it sounded a little odd to me, until I began to realize that the fastest way to reach the brain is through the nasal passage. That passage goes directly into the brain tissue. So when someone uses inhalants, which are so very dangerous and damaging to brain tissue, it is because of the direct contact that it does have to brain tissue going through the nasal passage. The aromatherapy oils have the same access to the brain, and yet they are very beneficial as they nourish the brain tissue. Bergamot is one of the oils that has been known for centuries to be very helpful with mania and depression. Lavender is very well known to help in stress, peace, and calming as a Young Living product. That is a combination of oils that is very soothing and calming. Valor is my favorite of their combinations, and it helps you to have strength and courage. This is a wonderful way to heal yourself and feel better, applying these essential oils to the body, breathing them in. I like using them up and down the spinal cord because, of course, as you remember, the spine is an extension of the brain, and the nerves throughout the entire body are contained within that spinal cord. So if you can put the oils along the spine, they go into the system very quickly. In fact, when the oils are applied to the bottom of the feet, we know that within 3 to 4 seconds, they have found those oils in the saliva of the body. So they are very rapidly absorbed, and the body begins to use them immediately. You will find that they are very soothing and very healing. There's new and exciting information coming out about these oils. A recent study out of England reported that sage was very beneficial in restoring memory. The patients rubbed the oil into their scalp. We also learned recently that the oils are being studied at Brigham Young University, and classes are even being taught on these essential oils at that university. A recent case report on the oils covered the case of a woman that suffered brain damage from her use of Zoloft. She also suffered major depression, which was the reason for the prescribing of the drug. The side effects, according to her, were beyond belief. She was suffering from short-term memory loss as well as the brain damage. Interestingly, they found that there was small vessel breakage in the brain that controls short-term memory. She was able to reverse that damage within several months using two of the Young Living combinations known as Clarity and Joy. She also recommends the combination of oils known as Brain Power. Dr. Gary Young, who heads Young Living, has done much to educate America about the therapeutic uses of these oils. He suffered many health problems from a terrible accident that left him in a wheelchair. Of course, due to many alternative treatments, he has been out of that wheelchair for years and is in excellent health. Dr. Young also has a large book that he has written called A PDR for Essential Oils, which lists many diseases, which oils to use for those, and how to use each oil for each disorder. The text lists the following oils as being very good for the brain: frankincense, lavender, sandalwood, forgiveness, and release. Frankincense is the one oil I would like to make mandatory after using these drugs. due to the high risk for cancer. We now know that the possibility of breast cancer is 700% greater after Paxil use. And I suspect similar results to come in with the other SSRIs. Frankincense is most incredible in fighting cancer. I think it should be used under the arms like deodorant would be as a preventative against breast cancer. It must be diluted with another carrier oil like almond or apricot or one of the massage base oils from Young Living. Last summer, my own daughter came to me to show me she had developed lumps under her arms. She should have let me know sooner, but as a typical 20-year-old, she was too busy running to play all the time to stop long enough for that. As I checked her, I was scared to death at what I found. Not only were there lumps, they were as hard as marbles and about the size of marbles. Had they been soft, I would not have been so worried. As a cancer survivor myself, I knew all too well that we could very well be dealing with cancer in advanced stages. I told her to immediately stop using the deodorant and the antiperspirant with aluminum in them that I had warned her to never use. Then I gave her a mix of cold-pressed apricot oil with frankincense oil mixed in at about 40 drops to 4 ounces. She was instructed to use this under her arms as often as she would think of it throughout the day. We saw improvement rapidly, and within a month, all signs of any lumps were completely gone. Frankincense is miraculous in all of its properties and helpful for so many different ailments. A woman I have worked with for over 4 years now had severe reactions to Prozac. She called last week to scream, "Those oils really work." I said, "Yes, I know. That's why I told you to try them 4 years ago." She said, "Well, I wanted to try one thing at a time, but Clarity and Brain Power have worked better than anything else. I actually got up in the middle of my favorite TV program and did some house cleaning for the first time in years after using them. I have had to have a maid come in to do that for me since my reaction to Prozac years ago. This is a miracle. I just had to tell you." Another mother recently reported that her son, who had had terrible reactions to the drugs, became a new person using Valor on his neck. The Valor was applied just before his grandfather took him golfing. The results were so amazing with this teenager that the grandfather stopped to call and ask what the mother had done. He had been with his grandson just 3 days before and could not believe the difference in him. He said on a scale of 1 to 10, the day had been an 11 or 12. The mother said, "I just about died. I couldn't believe it." This boy was laughing and smiling and telling his grandfather that he was going to get his dad to play golf with them the following day. Another Young Living product I should mention as well is Steven Seagal's Power Meal. It is so excellent in balancing the blood sugar. To order Young Living products, the number is 1-800-763-9963. You are welcome to use member number 22048 under the name Dr. Ann Blake Tracy. If you have questions about the oils, call Diane. That's what I do. Her number is 303-766-9760. I wish you the very, very best in your withdrawal. Be careful and do remember, come down slowly. That's the best advice I could ever give you. This is Dr. Ann Blake Tracy wishing you the very best as you do this. Thank you.